A Monday treat of an FPL pod ahead of the first midweek mayhem of the season. Do we all have to bring in Bukayo? Are Chelsea the main team to target? And will Jules finally sell Erling Haaland? Well, this is a bit different, isn't it? A Monday FPL pod. No, it's not off the bench. No, you don't have one of the experts. Unfortunately, you're stuck with me, Kelly Summers, and Julian Laron. But we have, of course, roped in at least one expert. Sorry, Jules, I'm not putting you in that category.
That's okay.
Yep, I don't think either of us are in there. Sam Bonfield is also with us. Morning, guys. My voice is a bit croaky today. Let's firstly just let the listener into a little secret. Well, it's not a secret. Jules, what time is it?
It's 7 a.m. It's very early for an FPL show. But the best way of starting the week is to do an FPL show at 7 a.m. on a Monday morning.
Cool. You've spun that quite positively. It wasn't what you were saying off camera. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. Sam, it's quite nice actually to speak about a game week that has finished so recently because it's a lot more fresh in our minds, isn't it? Are you feeling happy fresh this morning about your team?
Oh, that's a no.
She had a great week and then she's going to moan.
But did you see who she sold?
Jules, I have mixed feelings about this weekend. Saturday, I think, well, started Friday night, I suppose. But Saturday,
no, Saturday rescued you, Sam, can I say? Because I was, no, sorry, Sunday rescued you. Because
Sunday.
Saturday, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm closing the gap here a little bit. All I need is for United to blank and all of those things, and it didn't happen.
Saturday was, I think, the single worst FPL day I've ever had. No, Jules, honestly, I had 14 points from Saturday and that was it. On a game week where Gabriel like was smashing it, Saka was obviously like, honestly, Saturday, I got to a point where I was out on Saturday, and when the Crystal Palace goal went in, I've never celebrated a goal so much in my life because I've benched Lewis Hall and I was like, right, thank goodness something's gone right. And I kept saying to myself, it can't get any worse. Sunday, I've got good players coming on Sunday. And then I got to Spurs and I look at the big screen and there's no Dom Solanke in the team sheet. And I was like, what even is this week? Like, it's a disaster. So then I looked like a complete idiot, as Lee quite rightly texted me to tell me, because I celebrated the Lewis Hall clean sheet going only for him to come off my bench for Dom Solanke. So of course, in the end, Sunday actually did save me because I had Bruno, who did well, and had Palmer, and I had Salah as my captain, and I had Dallow, who kept a clean sheet. So I ended up on 73 and somehow a green arrow. But yeah, having sold Strand Larson for João Pedro this week, and then having brought in the wrong Arsenal defender to back up Raya, and not having Saka, it could have been an absolute nightmare, as it happens. The arrow was green and I can't be too down on it, but I can't also help but feel that it was just a difficult weekend.
Sam, can I ask why you sold Strand Larson? Because no, I'm not trying to rub salt in the wounds, but I was just really surprised. So when I saw Strand Larson scored twice and I've obviously got Cunha, I was like, seeing the scores come in, I was like, oh, Sam's going to have done really well. There are no returns for Cunha. And then I checked your team and I was like, why has she sold Strand Larson in the middle of such a good set of fixtures? There must be a reason. So that's why I'm asking. I'm not trying to rub it in.
No, it's a good question. Well, there were two reasons. The first one was I wanted to get João Pedro in and I didn't want to sell Chris Wood ahead of the game against Ipswich. So that was the first. And I didn't want to sell Solanke just yet. So that was the first reason. And the second one was that in the long term, I think if you're going to have a Wolves attacker, Cunha is the right one to have. And so I didn't want to at some point end up being doubled up on.
Right, okay.
The Wolves attack, even with the fixtures that they have. So I made the decision to sell Strand Larson this week and then look to bring Cunha in possibly for the midweek round of fixtures, but more likely for the weekend. That was why it absolutely, it came back to bite me, didn't it, massively on Saturday afternoon. It is what it is. The thing is that for the last couple of weeks since I've owned Strand Larson, he's actually done nothing and it's been all about Cunha. And then this weekend it was just the opposite. So I guess it was inevitable that happened at some stage, but I still feel that Cunha is the right Wolves attacker. Only really had Strand Larson because of budget and now I didn't have those budget restrictions. It makes a bit of a difference.
Okay, Jules, the reason you can't understand why Sam isn't happy with her week is because you had a slightly worse week, didn't you?
So to be fair, I got 61 points, which is average. But if we go back, which it made me laugh last night, because we go back to the same debate that we've had for the last, I don't know how many weeks. If your premium is Haaland like me, and I, you know, I, we've explained, I kept faith in him and I still have faith in him, but he blanks. And the other premium in Saka and Palmer, because I've got Salah, the other two, Bruno is slightly different, I think, because he didn't really have a good first half of the season. That might be different with Amorim, but I think the four big ones obviously are Haaland, Salah, Saka and Palmer, to know what to do with them. But if Saka and Palmer are great like they are this weekend and Haaland isn't, then it hurts massively, mm-hmm. because the rest, I've got Havertz returning, Nico Jackson returning, Brian Johnson, great with 10 points, Salah as the captain, no problem. Okay, defensively, but I've always struggled defensively this season, but that it's not too bad. The problem is because Saka and Palmer did so well and they are so heavily owned mm-hmm. and my Haaland was rubbish again.
You did then, have Salah though, didn't you?
Yeah, Salah's captain, which obviously saves me in a way. But yeah. It's not so much saves. It's amongst those four, if you have two or three, and or the one that blanks and the other three are great, then you're going to struggle. So this is me this week.
Jules, I think it's two returns in 8 game weeks now for Haaland though. When you're saying you're keeping faith, how long is this faith going to kind of last for when you're talking about that issue that you've had this game week?
I don't know. It's a good debate and it's a good question again and a good debate. And I guess we'll talk about him quite a lot on the show. If you look at the fixtures coming up, I don't think they're too bad. But yesterday, to be fair, since we've had this debate on like, should we keep him, should we sell him, et cetera, et cetera. Yesterday was his worst performance by far. City were horrible. He was miserable. Like it was really, I would have done better than him. So to be fair, it was not a bad weekend because I did a lot of other great things. But 61 points, I just on another day it could have fallen a bit better. But also, Kelly, this weekend I spent a lot of things doing something that I was really passionate about, but took me quite a long time to do.
Kelly Summers, stop what you're doing. Leave the school. Get out of the TV studio. The deadline is in 1 hour. 1 hour.
What on earth is this? Is this my new jingle?
Vision and planning and make your FBI transfers.
I'm guessing both of you knew that was coming because I definitely didn't. And I was like, what's he talking about? And I've gone quite red now.
Yeah.
What was that?
This is your new ringtone.
So honestly, you put it that is the last thing in the world.
Just before the deadline. That was brilliant. I think we should play it again.
Can you hear it? Let me listen to it a bit more. Play it again, please, Jesse.
Kelly Summers, stop what you're doing. Leave the school. Get out of the TV studio. The deadline is in 1 hour. 1 hour. It's time to use your talent, vision and planning and make your FPL transfers.
Are you like... Have you got like a tambourine that you're shaking or have they added
that
in?
That's the magic of radio or podcast. You know, they've added that.
Like the festive edition
of it. Who do you think I am? Like a musician or something?
Well, I thought your little girl might have one. I don't know.
No, yeah, not even. No, it was just brilliant. So make sure you put that on.
I enjoy the addition of the festive jingles, but...
Happy Christmas.
When did you... I'll talk to you about that off the record. We don't need to discuss when you recorded that.
Please, can you make sure that goes on your phone there, Kels?
Yeah, yeah.
No, absolutely not.
You have to.
Seeing him once a week is enough. I don't then need once a week my phone's... Imagine if I am somewhere where I don't need an alarm going off, like somewhere that's embarrassing anyway, and then if that goes off as well. But very good, Jules, very good. I've completely lost where I was now. We were having a discussion about teams. Oh, you're going to try and put me off talking about my team. I think it's the second week in a row, just about, I've beat both of you.
Woo!
I mean, don't get me wrong, I need to beat you by a lot more to have any impact. But Jules, I think we're having quite an interesting battle heat up, aren't we? At the bottom. Me and you race to not finish at the bottom. Isn't
it?
So our mini league at the moment, Sam's on 73 points this week, got 776 overall. Ian, who, by the way, once again
had
a storm in it.
A very average start. And it was around this time last year because my daughter's just turned one. And so it was around this time last year that Ian joined the pod for a while and kind of became our project for a few months. And he was down in, I can't remember where he was last season, and we helped, in inverted commas, I was barely here, him get to a really good rank by the end of the season. But he's doing it again. He got 85 points this game week. He's had a couple of really strong game weeks. He's on 754. I'm in third place with 727. I got 75 points this game week. And Jules is fourth, just 10 points behind me on 61. So Jules was above me. Each week, we're kind of flip-flopping each other at the moment. So the rivalry between the two of us, I think, is only going to get more intense. And I'm going to hold my hand up, Jules. I don't think you'll know about this. Sam might do. I had a bit of a Cole Palmer moment last week again. So I obviously present the fantasy show on Friday, and I know lots of our listeners also watch that. And when we did the usual part at the end of the show where we talk about captaincy, we had Harry on. And Harry, FPL Harry, Sam, doesn't he? He has an amazing history in FPL. He always finishes top 10K.
Yeah, well, no, it's even better than that. So I think something like over the last, I'm going to get the stats wrong, but something like over the last five seasons, if you rank them all together, he's ranked number two in the whole world.
So, Jules, he comes into the studio and I'm like, wow, my team's quite similar to his. So I was quite pleased.
Didn't yeah.
He's one of those FPL managers, you know, you go, I've got to listen to you because you're good.
He's like the best of the best, Harry.
Yeah, he's really, really good. And he's been a great addition to us in the studio. So anyway, he came in, we get onto the captaincy bit. And you remember the intro to last week's podcast, I said Saka's the standout captaincy option.
Yeah.
I sat in the studio with him. We did it again. And again, on air, I said to him, oh, Saka got, I think it was either four, I think it was 14 points or 16 points against West Ham last year. Gave him all these great Saka stats. He told me he was captaining Salah. I was on Saka until 15 minutes before the deadline. I panicked and moved it to Salah. Why do I keep doing this? Where like I make, the, I mean, in the end, Salah was fine, but I would have been like, what, 10
points
up?
Yeah, 10.
So it's I could have had a really, really good game week and been looking at a score that I really need to get to kind of climb and improve my rank. But it wasn't quite a Cole Palmer moment, but loads of people again were tweeting me. Like Harry tweeted, like, should have listened to Kelly and done Saka as captain. And I was like, yeah, about that. I didn't do it either. And then everyone found that hilarious. So glad I've provided some amusement. Honestly, if I was an FPL manager that listened to some of the good advice I took, I'd be a far better actual manager. But there we are. I'm never going to change, am I? So yeah, 75 points for me, not too bad. Okay, let's check in on the FPL Pod Mini League. James White is still top. He got 82 points. Jake Poplawski is second, though. He got over 103 points. He went all the way from second to 12th. Jeffrey Langham also made it into the 100-point club. He got 107 points. He went from 36 up to 7th. So it does show just one good game week, one right captaincy or the like, and you can really jump up that league. If you do want to join us, a reminder, the code is Q7YC, the letter O, the number 0. So game week 13 finished with that bumper game between Liverpool and Manchester City. The reason we're with you on a Monday is because, of course, it's the first, is it the first of this season, Sam, midweek round?
Yeah, I think so.
It is, isn't it? Yeah, it's the first midweek round. I don't know what, Jules, I don't know why I don't trust you to ask that. I asked Sam.
No, it's cool.
You would know as well. Sorry. Also, it turns out I knew as well. So yeah, game week 14 kicks off just 48 hours after the completion of that match. So probably by the time you listen to this, it'll be at the earliest, sometime on Monday afternoon. You'll have just over 24 hours. If you're listening to this after Monday evening, Tuesday morning, you've got less than 24 hours. Your deadline is 6 o'clock on Tuesday evening. That is 90 minutes ahead of Ipswich versus Crystal Palace. There is so much football across Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. All of it on TV. You can watch it all here in the UK. So it's going to be a really good week, particularly if you are an FPL manager. We've already reflected, I think, on some of the talking points for our teams from game week 13. But Sam, I feel like because there is no off the bench, we do need to maybe delve into a few of the other talking points that could have affected other people's teams. What are the other headlines that you've taken away from the weekend?
Oh, I mean, there was loads, wasn't there, this weekend? And I think in terms of FPL, we've got, well, as Jules mentioned at the beginning, the conversation about which are the right premiums to own comes back up again. Because I was looking at the numbers and, you know, when you look at what Haaland's been doing since game week 6, it's crazy to think about how few points he's got. So he sits 98th for points scored out of all the FPL players over that period of time.
Wow.
23 points. That's like lower than players like Mikulenko, which is mad.
Minus one this weekend. Yep, yeah, he was in my team.
Yeah, and you, I didn't bring him up because of that. But yeah, that's madness, right? And at a time when you're seeing performances from Salah and from Saka and from Palmer and Bruno is cheaper and hasn't been performing all season, but we'll bracket him in there now because he's still in that sort of lowish premium price point, it's starting to become quite difficult. And so I think we end up having more of that conversation that comes back around again. We've also this week seen both Salah and Palmer have heavier ownership than Haaland for the first time this season. He's dropped to 50% now and so isn't the most heavily owned player in the game anymore. So I think that is one of the massive talking points this week is what do you do now? Do you do what Jules is doing and just say, well, at some point it's got to end and stay loyal to him? Or do you start to redistribute the money and have two of these other assets? Like, that feels like the overriding conversation in the community right now. And game week 13 hasn't done anything to change that conversation.
Jules, you touched upon it before. I'm sorry to put you back.
No, it's cool.
Talking about it again, but it feels like maybe you're starting to kind of
Yesterday was bad. Because before we explain, even his own XG was decent. He was missing chances, but at some point somebody like him was going to take those chances and score goals and get a lot of points. Yesterday, he had no chances. There was no movement. There was no wingers. I mean, I don't even know how City thought they could score goals until Doku and Savinho came on. No Kevin De Bruyne or Foden is the ghost of himself. Like that, the whole team, by the way. Haaland had one shot at 0.12 XG and that was it. The other one was a block shot. He had six passes, 16 touches. I mean, when I said miserable earlier, it was really a miserable day. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I know it's Van Dijk and I know it's Liverpool and everything away from home. Okay, no problem. But for the first time, really, I felt like, okay, this is not on. Because also, it's great. I think it's great for the show because there would be still 50% of the managers in my position. So it's still relevant for a lot of people. And we are still talking about Erling Haaland and Manchester City and Pep Guardiola, etc. But yesterday I was thinking like, oh man, if only, you know, I had Palmer, and Palmer didn't score until the 83rd minute. So until he didn't score, I was like, okay, it's not too bad because the Palmer owners will have his assist and maybe a few bonus points. But then Palmer's goal changes everything, by the way, too. So yeah, it was not good. And of course, I think every Haaland owner now should think, what do we do? Because it's Forest at home on this midweek, when Chelsea are away at Southampton, for example. So if you don't own Palmer, there's a big possibility that Palmer smashes it again away at Southampton and gets more return, while Haaland at home to Forest. Forest could do a job defensively like they did away at Liverpool when they won over there a couple of months ago. So it's just mad. But I feel like Haaland is my project in a way. I want to send him a love. I want, you know, to cuddle him before Christmas.
Also, you're quite stubborn, aren't you, Jules? And I feel like the more we talk about it and the more we say it, you're like, no,
the more
I don't
we tell
want
you to get rid.
I want
to
feel vindicated the day he's called a hat-trick, like on Wednesday, and you don't have
it. Yeah, but you've missed out on the
game week 37 and he'll finally get one in off his bum.
More seriously, yeah. I've missed out. Sam said, sorry, since game week 6, him and Haaland has 23 points and ranks 98 in the ranking. That's a lot of points compared. I don't know how many Palmer got or Saka got, or even, I don't know. Who
Saka got 63, Palmer got 61.
Can you imagine?
The same time.
So that's like three times more than what Haaland got. So your rank, like if you're like me, and had Haaland since game week 6 and not Palmer or Saka.
Well, Jules, it's not dissimilar to me. Bear in mind, I only sold him last game week. I didn't have Salah until this game week. And Salah over that period has got 82 points. So that's why my rank is so poor.
But that's where we are, really. And to be fair, now we know with hindsight that having Haaland all this time...
The difference is I've changed it, you haven't.
Yeah, not yet. But you've only changed it for one game week. But the point is that Haaland was clearly a mistake. Keeping him was a mistake. Now I feel like I've kept him for so long, may as well wait until, because the next game are Forest, Palace, United.
It does feel like you maybe waited too long now, because now the fixtures are about to be a bit better. So
yeah,
now
but I'm not sure if he's going to return anyway. So
no, it's hard
now. I don't know what
so
to
what
do.
Are you, so as it stands, would you sell him ahead of this game week? Of course, it's a midweek round. There's less turnaround time. I don't know if that affects your thinking or if maybe you need a bit more time.
I don't know, because I also want to get rid of Mbomo and Rodgers. Rodgers and Villa have been terrible and they've got better fixtures coming up. But still,
how many transfers you got, Jules?
Four, I think, this game week.
Oh, I've never had that many. That's exciting, Jules.
Yeah, four.
Well, you could
transfers.
Do everything.
You could have changed nearly half your team.
Fix it all.
Maybe that's what I'm going to do. But
Sam,
I don't have
do
enough time
think...
and I've got too much work between now and the deadline. So...
I was going to say, do you really think the busiest man in TV, radio, every other medium, podcast, is going to have enough time when there's only 48 hours between?
Absolutely not.
No, we're privileged to have him on here, to be honest. So there's not a chance it's going
to
make the change.
That's what we're doing at 7 a.m. probably.
Yeah, I need to find
But Jules, just maybe have a think about it and use the games in midweek to kind of help educate your decisions, and then ahead of the weekend you'll be ready. So when we speak again on Thursday morning, Thursday morning you won't. You still won't have decided till Friday.
Well, there's still
night,
two games as well, isn't there, on Thursday
night? Yeah,
very true. Okay, let's rattle through. I promised myself I wouldn't say that on this podcast.
You love that phrase. Yeah, you
What's
love
another
rattle.
Phrase for rattle through? Through.
Just rattle through. We can't say
go
anything else.
Quickly.
That's
go through.
No, it's her phrase. It has to be.
Let's race through. No, I don't want to race because race sounds like we're trying to but we're not desperate hurrying. To get to the end, and we're not. No, we're not. Okay, some of the other talking points. Let's try and get through them quickly so that we can bring listeners up to speed and also then look ahead to game week 14. So the Haaland conundrum is an issue. Sam, what are you going to be doing with Bruno Fernandes? Because he's returning. He looked good. United looked good as well, actually, didn't they? Probably worth us having a quick check-in on them.
Yeah, absolutely. He returned really nicely again. So I know that I had the blank out of him last week, but obviously got the 17 points the week before and a couple of assists this time around. Was pictured with ice on his foot after he gets subbed, so we have to just keep a little eye on that. Marcus Rashford in that one as well, scored two goals and gets a bonus point, 14 points. That's his first double-digit return since game week 33 of the 22-23 season.
What? Not even last season?
No, which I was amazed by. Wow, I was like, what? Where's that come from? This is where my off-the-bench stats come in handy. Like,
great, because me and Jules don't have any, so keep sprinkling them in.
Definitely. Yeah, I love a bit of an FPL stat on an off-the-bench on a Monday morning. So I think Manchester United, look, okay, the opposition wasn't great, and it's going to be very, very different opposition in midweek. But I think we're at a point now where we're starting to see the reemergence of players like Bruno. And I know that it's new manager bounce and all of that stuff. And I know that the fixtures over the next couple of weeks are a little bit mixed. And the last three were the ones that you really wanted investment in. But I think with Bruno, I kind of feel like I'm ahead of a curve a little bit by having him. So he's not a player that I want to take out right now. I'm going to hold him. And even if that means that I'm going into the midweek game very, very, very heavily invested in that one fixture, which I don't enjoy, I still think it makes a lot of sense to hold. And I think the positive thing from an FPL perspective, though, is that if you don't want to spend the Bruno Fernandes level of budget, you don't appear to have to right now, because Marcus Rashford performed well in this one. But there were other Manchester United players as well that did really well. Ahmed, for a start, I mean, he's so much cheaper than everybody else. And playing in that wing-back position, he's doing what I was hoping Dalot was going to do on the other side. And I haven't had that level of attacking returns yet from Dalot, but obviously gets me the clean sheet. So yeah, Manchester United feel like if you're invested, they're a hold. If you aren't, probably feel like you can afford to wait until after this game in midweek and then invest.
Jules, what do you think about United? I know you're quite excited or intrigued by their prospects under Amorim.
Yeah, no, I think they look much better for sure, because they didn't look that great before. And obviously they had a manager that was not very good. Now they've got a good manager. I mean, they scored four goals yesterday from an XG of 0.73. So they rode their luck a little bit. They played well, but for the first half hour, Everton were probably the better team. Like Bodø/Glimt were on Thursday in the Europa League for most of that first half as well. So it's far from being perfect, but at least they're winning. You can see the momentum. There's this game against Arsenal, and then they play City two games later. So the next two of the next three games are against the two of the top teams in the league. So it could be very different. But I agree with Sam. I think if you have them, if you have players, keep them. If you don't have them, just maybe wait a little bit before bring them after the City game, probably.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about Arsenal then, because I mean, I watched pretty much all of that game on Saturday night, and Jules, you must have enjoyed that, because it's everyone said it, but you can't really understate the impact that Odegaard has had on his return. And also, I know you guys aren't Saka owners, but how worried are you? Because Odegaard seems to, like, Saka was still consistent when Odegaard wasn't playing, but he seems to really take him to the next level. Their partnership is pretty special.
Yeah, incredible. I mean, Saka, because you said after the Sporting game, I think that as soon as he saw that Odegaard was fit again to play, he had a massive smile on his face, because he knew, like everybody at the club, not just even Arteta or the players, that things were going to change with Odegaard coming back. I think there are players, and Rodri is another one, and Salah probably too. We talked about it yesterday on BBC Five Live too, on the show. You just can't replace. You can have a backup, and you can have another player who can play in that position, but it's just not the same. And for two or three games, you can maybe be okay without them, but for more than that, you're not. It's too difficult. So Odegaard coming back is massive. The penalty routine was interesting, but we had it last season. I can't remember which game, but they gave the ball to each other, etc. I think it's quite fluid in who takes the penalty between them two. And the foul was on Saka, don't forget, on the first penalty. Yep. And often, maybe if you just got kicked and you don't really feel
yeah,
like
that's a
it.
Good point.
Mm. But I knew the second penalty would be taken by Saka. And it's again, the set pieces, because his assist is on set piece for the Gabriel goal. And it's just a shame that defensively they let those two goals go, because West Ham didn't really offer anything going forward. And it's just
it was a bizarre game, wasn't it? The way
it's a wonderful free kick.
Wonderful free kick, but it was never a foul in the first place, because Rice touches the ball. Adam Paqueta throws himself on the floor and the referee gave the foul. And then the first goal, Trossard is half asleep. And then Wan-Bissaka, of all people, go in and score a goal. So it could have easily have been a clean sheet for Gabriel owners, Saliba owners, Raya owners. Like, some would have had an even better week. But in the end, a great performance from Arsenal.
I had Raya and Timber.
Oh, Timber, sorry. I thought, yeah, you had Timber.
I had both of them. So yeah. I was not a happy bunny when those goals went in.
In terms of Saka, you guys don't have him. As I said before, Jules, we've spoken about you being concerned about Haaland, but both of you...
But for Sam, it's either Bruno and Saka, really, because...
Yeah, Sam, do you have to move Bruno on to be able to get Saka? You've got money in the bank, haven't you?
No, I've already bought Saka in. I did it yesterday. Oh. I didn't want to sell Bruno Fernandes, so I did it for Mbomo.
Oh, nice transfer to be able to make. I would like to. Well, I have Saka, but I would like. I think both Jules and I have said already that we would quite like to sell Mbomo.
Yeah, so now I've got a midfield four that has Palmer, Bruno, Salah, and Saka.
Cool, that is ultimate premium, isn't it? That's the benefit of selling Haaland, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm pretty much in love with that midfield four now. But yeah, I just watched that game, and it was horrible watching it without Saka. And I did, at one point, I was like, okay, is it the right thing to do to get Saka, was kind of my thought going into the game. Or should I just get Erdogan instead and save some money? Because as Jules said, he's been so important. So he's come back from injury. He's had 11 key passes in that team. That's more than anybody else. Obviously, he returns, gets the penalty. That's three successive matches of returns now. Saka, though, is just on a different level, isn't he? And I think when you're looking at how you spend your money in FPL, you want to spend it on people that you feel are as guaranteed as possible to get attacking returns for you in that team. And, you know, he gets the goal, he gets three assists, it's his second successive double-digit haul. He has now created 35 chances this season. That's the most of any player in the game. And he's got 11 assists, which is at least five more than any other player in the game. So when you're talking about somebody that is sometimes on penalties, but is always in the conversation for the penalties, has good goal threat of his own, but also has that level of attacking threat and creativity from set pieces, in particular from corners with Gabriel, that means it's just ridiculous how often that works. I just don't think that there's anyone else in the game really at the moment who, apart from Salah, who I would consistently say is the most likely to every week get you something. Okay. And I was watching this game, like, I tried to cover it this week a little bit, because I didn't want to sell him when we were ahead of that game against Leicester, because I thought it would be high scoring, and it was, just not for him. And so I wanted to wait a week, and I thought, okay, well, if I bring in Timber, then at least I've got the double Arsenal clean sheet, which is bound to stick against West Ham. When that went, and Saka was returning, and Gabriel was getting attacking returns as well, I was like, this game is going to kill me. And it did for a while. So I fixed that as quickly as possible, and now I'm trebled up on Arsenal.
Okay. Jules, are you going to be able to get him? You're not going to be able to, are you?
No, I can. If I sell Haaland, it's always the same. I can get to Saka and Palmer pretty easily with selling Haaland, and Mbomo, probably the Mbomo to Saka move. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not too difficult to make. So, but it's always the same, you know, dilemma, really.
Yeah. Okay, let's go through to try and, by the way, producer Jesse has sent in as if he's like sent into a mailbox. He's actually just WhatsApped me and said, speed through, push on, crack on. That's what we need to do right now. Kick from the above. Let's try and bunch through a few players positionally. Forwards, we've spoken on this podcast, we've spoken to our friends, we've spoken on the Fantasy Show so much about how there's some great budget forward options, and that's part of the reason that selling Haaland has been so attractive. But a few did have problems this week, didn't they, Sam, really? If you think about it, Cunha and Pedro, everyone was rushing to bring them in. Cunha was the most transferred in. I think Pedro was the second, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Both of those two blanked. A really frustrating start to the game week with Pedro. Then we also saw Isak, who I brought in, and a lot of managers have been bringing in as well. He came off injured inside the opening 25 minutes of that game at Crystal Palace. And of course, Solanke missed the game through illness as well. So this week, again, it felt like if if you weren't on the exact right forwards, you didn't get points.
Yeah, and I think that's acceptable when they're at the price point that you're talking about. I think ESAC's a bit different because at his price point, you want him to return all the time. But with the rest of the guys that you've just listed, I kind of feel like we shouldn't necessarily be expecting them to get returns every week because they're like $6-6.5 million. So the fact that they are most weeks is good. There were a couple of good performances, weren't there? Evan Nilsson should deserve a shout out here because we never really talk about him. Produces his hat trick of assists to win three penalties. First time that's ever happened in the Premier League. And then Cliver obviously finishing all three of them off. That's his first double digit haul for Bournemouth. But over the last six game weeks, Evan Nilsson's got 41 FPL points, which is mad, isn't it?
Yeah. Ian's brought him in. Ian had him.
Yeah. It's consistent. And I think, you know, in midweek, he's going to come up against the Spurs defence that just leak goals. And I think he'll do well there. And Spurs statistically don't do well on small pitches. And so obviously going down to Bournemouth, it's a much smaller pitch than we're used to.
What?
Honestly, genuinely, it's true.
All the pitches in Premier League are the same size, pretty much.
They aren't. You have a look. There's a difference. Honestly, Jules, I'll send you some stats after this. On small pitches, Spurs do really, they travel really badly.
You know, there's rules.
Do you mean
you know
small stadiums?
Yeah, no, small stadiums, you mean?
No. Because there's they don't have to be exactly the same size.
If this clip isn't put up for social media, maybe you don't have this reaction.
They're playing at Kettering Town.
I'm going to send you. The stat after this
game. I know, but you know there are rules. So
they can't be tiny.
There are differences, but the differences are not that big.
They're slightly narrower, but it does make a difference. And if you have a look at the statistics of Spurs travelling away to teams with slightly wider pitches, they make that are more. That are the same size as the Spurs one. It makes a difference. Anyway, my point is that I think we'll struggle down at Bournemouth in midweek. I don't think that's going to be an easy fixture. And I think that Evan Nilsson, if you want a cheap forward, he's another one that you can have a look at. I had Chris Wood in my team this week. He gets the penalty conversion, but it was his only shot during the game. Yeah, so I do feel like I was kind of lucky, to be honest, to get that. And not only that, he also gets the three bonus points because it was a low scoring game. So I was also like, oh, I feel like I've got away with one a little bit with him this week. And then when you look at the underlying stats, only Haaland's got more points than he has from the forwards so far this season. So yeah, it was a little bit of a week of if you were on the right one, you did really well. And if you weren't on the right one, you didn't. And again, I guess the Solanke thing is a prime example of why the bench has to be decent at the moment because if you lose a player like Solanke, who is my most premium forward right now, I was looking at my bench and I was like, okay, well, it's fine because Lewis Hall is there. I also have Morgan Rogers on my bench and had Seth Vandenberg. Now, all three of them come on and they played and they would have got exactly the same points actually as it happened in the end. But at least there was a bench option there. And I think you just need to be aware that this, not necessarily illness, but rotation will happen over the next few weeks. So be prepared for it and make sure you can cover it.
I've just looked, by the way, and the Spurs pitch and the Bournemouth pitch are exactly the same size.
Are they?
105 meter times 68 meter. So you're going to win.
Well, Jules, I don't think we can ever say the Spurs are going to win with that much certainty.
No comment. Jules, we're going to move on to game week 14 now. But I'm
just
really
on Cunha quickly, on Cunha, because we praised him before and it's not, you know, it's good to have him, I think. He had one touch in the opposition box at the weekend and you could be Ronaldo, Cristiano, Messi, whoever you want. One touch in the box, you can't do much with it. So that's the problem. They could not get close to the Bournemouth goal outside of Strand Larsen, obviously, and that was the problem for them.
Strand Larsen.
I'm interviewing him this week. I'll thank him for your...
Remember
no,
him.
I can't thank him for your points because you didn't have them.
It was my differential
We haven't got on to... not that long ago, but it was last week, so the points don't count.
No, you're not getting any credit for that.
Before this descends into chaos, as it normally does, Jules, I'm surprised you haven't brought up the fact that Mbeumo didn't get an assist. Were you not annoyed that he didn't get an assist?
Oh, my God. Yeah, you reminded me now. That's an absolute joke, FPL Premier League.
Do you want the exact wording, the reasoning? The pass from Mbeumo was intended for Vissa, but was diverted to Sharda after a touch from Sumare. I mean,
well, Sumare doesn't even mean the touch is just a... How many times we've been in this position and the guy got an assist? And for the goal, it's exactly the same. You know, sometimes you shoot and it might have been on target maybe, but the deflection makes the whole goal itself and they still get the points. I was fuming about that. Really fuming.
Thought you would have been, there we go, wind him up and let him go. Thank you. Thank you very much, Jules. Thank I'd have been disappointed if you didn't do that.
Terrible.
Yeah, right. We're going to move on then to game week 14. It is a midweek game week. I've got to be honest, this is always one of my least favourite game weeks of the season because you never quite know about rotation. If you do want to make transfers, like Jules said, you don't have much time to decide. And it does feel like often the players you bring in often end up being the ones benched. I remember a few years ago in this game week, I think I got like 20 or 30 points just because if you're on the wrong players in the midweeks, it feels like it can really punish you a lot. And also, the press conferences are kind of so condensed into a couple of days. At this point of recording, we haven't heard from any managers whatsoever. The majority, and also actually, no, I just thought there's probably going to be press conferences on Wednesday after the deadline, aren't
there? There will be,
on Thursday.
For Thursday,
it's going to be a really tough one to navigate. Do you do things differently for these kind of game weeks, Sam?
I think you just have to react. I think that's all you can do. I think with a midweek round of fixtures, you have to be a bit different because for the weekend, or you have a whole week to think about it. You can listen to every press conference if you want to, or you can just read the key points of the main press conferences. You have time to kind of ponder on what you're going to do. With the midweek round, you just don't have time. Like, we've got a deadline in like, what, 20, just over 24 hours time as we're recording this. And people will change quickly. Price rises will happen quicker at this point because people will be jumping on and off players. I think all you can do is get the best players you can and try to avoid players that are injured or have potential to be injured or ill or whatever. I went early last night because I just couldn't go for another week of not having Saka, even though that means I've now got five players in that game, which is awful. I mean, I could bench Raya, I suppose, and only have four, but it still feels a lot. But I just felt like Saka was needed. But I just think you have to be slightly different. You have to make a decision and just go with it because it's the only way in midweek. You haven't got time to massively think. The only thing I would say is that midweek rounds are actually almost a really lovely time to roll a transfer because you don't have a massive amount of time. So if your team is okay and you don't feel like there's anything major that you need to do, then rolling it through into the weekend does put you in a nice position. But the other thing is, when I'm making my transfers, I tend to not look at them in isolation for just the midweek round of fixtures. I tend to look at these two game weeks almost as if it's a double game week, put them together and look at the fixtures over the two so that you can then make a better call on the player to invest in. Because what you don't want is to prioritise bringing somebody in because, I don't know, say you really like the fixture. I guess Chelsea are a good example here, right? Because they've got a really nice fixture in midweek against Southampton, who are going to be without Downs and Dibbling. So you would expect them to actually struggle even more maybe than they have been. But then on Sunday afternoon, they've got the game against Spurs. So it's difficult, right? And you'd want to heavily invest for midweek, but maybe not quite so heavily invest for the weekend. So if you're thinking about a Chelsea defender, then you maybe want to think about the weekend at the same time. I guess that's what I do.
Yeah, I guess that kind of fits into what Jules is thinking with his team. I'm guessing you won't make too many transfers, kind of for the same reason, Jules. I was going to ask how you, with your talent vision planning, how you look ahead to a midweek, but go on.
The only thing I would say, just to add to everything great that Sam just said, the international break was not that long ago. So I don't think there will be much rotation within starting 11s from managers. If you haven't played in Europe, for example, you've played two games. It's not like if this midweek fixture list was coming after, let's say, six games already in 18 days or something like that, where you really feel, okay, the players are tired now, I need a change. Now, to be fair, they've come back. Even if you've played in Europe last week, it's three games since the international break, and even the ones who went away with the national teams, they would have played a little bit. But so I would not expect too many changes from one starting 11 this weekend to the starting 11 for most of the teams tomorrow, or like Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday, which I think is less of a headache for us thinking, oh, is he going to play? Is he going to be on the bench? Are they going to rotate? Are they going to, is the turnover going to be big? I don't think this time round it'd be the case because we're not that far since the last international break.
Okay, then. So when we look ahead to the fixtures, which kind of ones stand out? Because it's also interesting because I think we've some of the players that we've mentioned being desperate for, the likes of Saka, don't have the easiest fixture this week. And it's the case for a few of them. Like, if we wanted to bring in Bruno, maybe this wouldn't be the week to bring him in. But Sam, if you were going to make transfers, which teams would you be targeting?
Chelsea. I think for midweek, if you're doing it based on just the midweek, I think Chelsea, but I also think that, you know, Chelsea attackers, like, one of the things I thought about doing this week is taking a -4 to have Jackson, as well as
his Palmer. I was considering, he's gone up again overnight, yeah, which will probably good, stop yeah. me now.
Yeah.
But I really regret not bringing in I bought in Isak last week, of course, and I wish I'd brought in Palmer, Jackson instead, but I didn't want to be doubled up. I thought it was too much, but actually in hindsight, it would have been completely the right thing to do.
And I think now with the Isak injury, Kels, that still makes sense to do that. I think it's a shame that you didn't do it before, because obviously you've missed out on some points there. But, you know, all the things I just said about the Chelsea fixtures being different, I don't think that matters really for the attackers, because the Spurs defence and the way that Chelsea generally come to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, which is obviously going to be the weekend fixture, I still think that they can return really well in terms of
the points. Other thing that's on my radar, though, is the fact that he's on 4 yellows. So then he will get a 1-game suspension. Yeah, so I'm almost kind of waiting.
More disciplined than last season.
But it's still a few games to get through without a yellow card. So I was like, maybe I'll just wait for the suspension and then bring him in. Because knowing my FPL luck, Jules, I'll bring him in and then he'll get suspended.
But with Kels is that, game week. That's a risky game though, isn't it? Because you could end up waiting 10 game weeks and he doesn't get booked at all. And then you've
missed
out.
I've been waiting for about 3 as it is, I think.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, isn't it? He got those 4 quite quickly. And then actually for the last few weeks, he's just sat there on 4 yellow cards and he hasn't moved. And and I think, again, it goes back to how is your team structure and can you cope? So, like, Aitnori is the same, right? He's been on 4 yellows for what feels like forever. We've all still got him.
That's also what's scary for me, though, because I have him as well, and I don't want to have too many players on 4 yellows, because, again, knowing my luck, they'll both get the yellows in the same game week.
Yeah, but equally, I think, you know, you will have transfers that you can use to replace other players. Like, I don't know. Like, I think it's whatever you do with a player that's on 4 yellows, it's a risky strategy. If you decide to go with them, then there's always the risk that they may pick up that yellow card in midweek and then be banned at the weekend. As a Spurs fan, I wouldn't mind that, although that would mean that Nkunku comes on and he's been playing really well in Europe. So, you know, I don't think it actually makes a difference to us. But then equally you could say, well, I won't bring him in because he's on 4 yellows, and then he could go for the next 5 weeks not picking up that yellow card, get you all the way to Christmas, and in that time score 4 goals and, you know, get a couple of assists and what have you, and then your points total is massive. So I think you have to bear in mind the suspension tightrope and you have to keep that as a focus. But I think when it's a player that is performing as well as Jackson is right now, it's not something that should be the main thing that decides whether you bring them in or not.
Okay, gosh, maybe I should have done it last night before his price rose as well then. Yeah, anyway.
And
I didn't say,
by the way, it was not too serious. It was more of a knock than a muscular injury. So he might be okay for the Liverpool game on Wednesday.
But do you want him?
I mean, if you invested in him, because I believe, like, you know, you
it's tough
you
to sell
him,
so
right?
soon. Well, yeah, it's tough to tell. So,
what's the point
but the problem I had is when he went off in that game, I was listening to it on the radio as I was driving along, and he went off, and my first thought was, he doesn't have a week to recover here.
No.
Like normally, a normal game week, you'd have a whole week to recover. So I thought, automatically, even if it's not a big injury, he's probably not going to play a midweek with Callum Wilson coming
back
as well.
Yeah.
They can also, they've also got other players, Anthony Gordon, that can play through the middle if they need to. Why would they rush him back when they need him in the, Eddie Howe needs him in the long term. I need him in the short term.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
Eddie
yeah.
Howe's going to win. Do you know what I mean? Like that was genuinely my first thought of, if this happened in any other game week, I wouldn't be as worried. But straight away, I thought, what if you're a manager, why on earth would you risk him if your other forward's coming back and you've only got 3 days between games? But we'll see. I was going to say worth listening to Eddie Howe's press conference, but out of all of the managers in the Premier League, he's probably one of the most coy and keeps his cards as close to his chest as he can. So I'm not sure we'll find out too much. But yeah, still worth checking out. I don't have a clue what time it is, but yeah, just keep across it on social media. I feel like we should probably mention some of the other suspensions that are happening, because it is around this point where, particularly when there's a quick turnaround, you can miss it. There are 28 players still on 4 yellow cards. One of those, of course, is Jackson. They would all miss game week 15 if they pick up a yellow card this week. So it would be in this game week. So the big news is there is Jackson, the likes of Neto for Chelsea. I feel like he hasn't even had that many minutes to have accumulated that many. But
Gabriel Jesus has 4 yellow cards as well. He's got more yellow cards
than
goals.
It's kind of quite remarkable as well. And wasn't there, Sam, didn't a couple of Manchester United players pick up?
Yeah, Lisandro Martinez and Mainoo are suspended on Wednesday.
Martinez and Mainoo. So that's probably worth bearing in mind, particularly from a Manchester United point of view, but also maybe from an Arsenal point of view as well, no?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, okay. I could read you all of the players. Of course, the likes of Tom Kearney is banned because he got a red card against Spurs. Semedo, Dibling, Downs and Harwood Bellis. And actually, that's also worth pointing out, because very bad news for Southampton, isn't it? And only enhances what you were saying before about Chelsea, Sam.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Southampton are they were struggling anyway, weren't they? Bless them. And then to lose these three players at the same time through suspension is almost catastrophic when you've got a team that's in such good form as Chelsea, particularly in attack, coming to play you. So yeah, it's not good news for Southampton, but I think for us in FPL, if you've got Chelsea players, I think it makes the captaincy decision a little bit easier.
Yeah, yeah. Especially, I'm loving the captaincy debates at the moment, even though obviously I often go for the wrong one. It is nice that we're all very confused about captaincy, and it's quite nicely spread at the moment. Okay, we're going to have to race, I can't think of another word, rattle through, because we really are running out of time now. So differentials of the week. Jules, firstly, congratulations. You picked Odegaard. Ooh. I know Sam did also try and pick Odegaard as well. 8 points, got the penalty, of course, and got a bonus points too. Sam was very unlucky, really, with Timber. Only got a point, but that's another point on the board for you, Jules. Who are you going with this week?
So I wanted to go with Amad Diallo because, as Sam was mentioning when she was talking about United, he's on great form. He's great. He's cheap, very low ownership. But then they've got Arsenal at the weekend, so on Wednesday night. So instead, I went for Enzo Fernandez, who reborn lately with Chelsea. He plays higher up on the pitch and not deeper next to Caicedo, next to Lavia, for example, which is a much better position for him. I suspect they will have another quite attacking lineup against Southampton in midweek like they had on Sunday. And he was very good. He's 4.8 million, Enzo, so that's not expensive. But because he plays higher up the pitch, he's much more involved in the final third of the game, 1.7% ownership. And he had two returns in a row now. And I think that new position for him, that is much better for him. It suits him better, but also that makes him far more dangerous, and he's a great player too. So I think Enzo against Southampton away could be very good.
Can you believe that you're saying him? If I'd have said to you probably 6 months or a year ago that you'd have been saying him, would you have believed that?
About Enzo?
Yeah.
No. And I've always been a great Enzo fan, even before he moved to Europe when he was at Benfica. But I think that change of positioning.
Yeah.
Is great for him.
Sam, who are you going with?
I had him as my first choice as well, so I'll go with my second one.
You two are
so on the same wavelength. Yeah.
It's madness. Because his stats are really good as well. So he's played 6 crosses and created 7 chances in the last 3, which is more than any other Chelsea player, just to add to Jules's pick. So in which case, I'm going even more rogue then, because he was my first choice and Borna Nottie is my second.
Nice.
So obviously he comes from Leicester, 5 million. He's only owned by 1.4% of the game. Now, I have owned Borna Nottie in my draft team for most of this season. And to be honest, he has been a complete legend for me. He's regularly returning. And actually, I found that most weeks in draft, he's been the one that's made the difference and he's won it for me. He's got returns in 6 of his 10 starts so far this season, which I was like, not surprised with, because obviously I have him in draft, but equally is a bit mad when you think about how Leicester have been performing over the course of this season. But this is going to be Van Nistelrooy's first game in charge. It's against the West Ham team that have just conceded 5 to Arsenal and just looked all over the place. And I do think that Leicester City will attack, and I think that there'll be some bounce there. And Borna Nottie seems to be the one that kind of takes the bull by the horn, for want of a better phrase, in that team. So Borna Nottie.
Okay, we'll have to see how you get on there. Sam, maybe next week you can update us on the standings overall. Yep. On to transfers and captain. Sam's already made her transfer. Is that all you're going to be doing?
Unless I get any news that Solanke's virus is actually worse than it is. Yeah. And then if it is, I'll go Solanke to Jackson, but that would leave me troubled up on Arsenal and with no Spurs.
And on a -4, would that be?
And on a -4. So I'm hoping that Solanke is going to be okay.
Captaincy, who are you going with?
Cole Palmer.
Jules, are you going to be holding those 4 transfers? Are you just going to keep banking them up forever?
To get a fifth one for the weekend? Yeah. I don't know. I want Mbeumo out, like I said, and Rodgers probably too, ideally. And then what I do with Haaland. I don't know. I've got a bit more time to think, but right now is definitely not the moment. And I've got no idea right now. So, you know.
Brilliant. Useful as ever. Captaincy? I feel like this is the first time Jules has opened his FPL team for a day or so.
No, because I'm prepared. I'm prepared, but I don't know either.
Okay, well, interesting to see that at the moment, the most popular transfer combinations, Jules, are player out and Mbeumo, Bukayo Saka in. And this is the one that you might do. and that Sam has done. And the second most popular is Isak out, Jackson in, which is obviously what I'm considering doing as well. And the next two are Haaland out for Jackson and Cunha. So people still selling Haaland in their droves, but lots of forward and midfield change-ups potentially. Okay, then that's where we'll leave it. Sorry, we've actually gone a little bit over, which isn't ideal when there's such a short period of time between the deadline. But as always, thank you so much for joining us and listening to the FPL Pod. We will be back on Thursday around lunchtime. We'll be in your feed reflecting on game week 14. Of course, it will come with the caveat that the two games, I think it's at Fulham and the game between Bournemouth and Spurs, we won't be able to discuss. So Sam will still be wondering if Solanke's virus is bad, probably. No, actually, to be fair, Ange Postecoglou is quite good at telling us in press conferences, isn't he? But yeah, we'll be back on Thursday afternoon looking ahead to the weekend. We're at that brilliant time of year where there is constant Premier League football and as a result, constant FPL. But do not forget your deadline, 6 p.m. on Tuesday. So if you're listening to this on Monday, around 24 hours, if you're listening to this on Tuesday, it's in this evening, 6 o'clock. Don't miss it. That's 90 minutes ahead of the first match of the game week, Ipswich versus Crystal Palace. The Fantasy Show will also be back, but not until Friday, looking ahead to the weekends. This really is your place to get all of the tips, as is fantasy.premierleague.com and the Premier League app. I think that's where we'll leave it. Guys, have a good game week. Either of you at any of the matches?
No.
Arsenal Man United on Wednesday night.
Oh, big game, Jules strikes again. I'll be at Manchester City versus Nottingham Forest as well, so big we can talk about those on Thursday morning. Have a good week, guys. Bye-bye.